Sometimes it's granny that's smoking. Sometimes it's the old dolls or the old fellas, as opposed to the modern mum or dad. Now, last February, the Northern Ireland Assembly voted in favour of introducing a ban on smoking in vehicles with children in them. Now, almost a year on, the Health Minister has announced an 8-week consultation on introducing that law. Neil Johnson is the policy advisor with the Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke Association. Now, what I want to speak to, Neil, because I'm just wondering how they'll ever police this if it does come into play. Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
Neil, they can have all the laws in the land, but this is not going to be a PSNI issue, so it isn't.
Well, actually, that's one of the issues that they're consulting on. Primarily in Northern Ireland, enforcement of smoking regulations is the duty of the councils, but actually the consultation is considering whether the PSNI should be involved in this. So it may be, as it is in fact in GB, it is the police are involved in it.
So if you are smoking with an under 18 in the car, you can have blues and twos pulling you in?
Well, I don't imagine that is the way it is, but it'll not be a case of blues and twos. But I think the important thing on this, Frank, is that it has to be sort of in both angles. It is primarily an issue of the Northern Ireland society basically saying, we recognise this is a serious issue. You know, basically 82% of the opinion poll that we did, I think it was last year, the year before, said that they wanted the Assembly to introduce this law. The Assembly looked at it, looked at the detail, looked at the evidence of both sides of the argument and came down and said, yes, this is something we should do. And it is basically society sending out a powerful message that this is something that you should not do in the car. Now, most smokers, of course, don't smoke when they have children in the car, but there is a tiny minority who seem to be ignoring that advice. Now, hopefully, the more we reinforce the message, the more the message will get through. But also then, we do need to have that ability for the sake of protecting children, because, as I say, there are established links between secondhand smoke and respiratory disease, middle ear disease and asthma in children. So, you know, we need to protect the children, and this will give us the ability to do that. Now, regarding enforcement, people used to say that you could never enforce a ban on smoking in pubs, etc. And actually now the level of enforcement is remarkably low, because there doesn't need to be an enforcement. Basically, everybody has largely accepted that that's the way it should be, that you shouldn't smoke in public, you know, in enclosed public places, and it doesn't happen.
But why don't we simply do it in terms of educating the mums and dads
and
the guardians? Why bring in what seems like a draconian law? Because, I don't know if you get a chance to listen to this programme very often, but I am so against smoking. I hate smoking, everything to do with smoking, and if we could go back to Walter Raleigh or whoever brought tobacco here, we would ban them getting into the country, in my opinion. But whenever it comes to personal choice and personal freedom, I understand why the law is there to protect the worker in the workplace, and it seems to have worked very well. It doesn't, however, work whenever they implement that law in the works van or the works vehicle, because we see the length and breadth of the country, people in liveried vans smoking. So they shouldn't be smoking, but they are smoking, and they are ignoring the law because they feel that their van or their car or their lorry is a private space. My goodness, the family car is a private space. This is one step away from banning smoking, people peeping through the window of your home to see if you're smoking. This is a very serious issue in terms of legislation.
Well, it's a serious issue because there's child protection involved here and the children's health. And in doing this measure, basically, I say, as well as sending out that strong message that it's something you shouldn't do, it gives the authorities the ability to step in. I say the primary role is one of education. And yes, I agree with you. You know, we need to be out there educating. In Northern Ireland, Chest, Heart and Stroke, we're in schools week in, week out, talking to children about physical health, you know, good diet, physical activity, and a strong message on don't smoke. You know, so we need to keep on doing all of those things. So this is just one of a range of measures. You know, there's a plain packs coming in as well. You know, so everything basically that we can do to discourage smoking. The other thing, Frank, about secondhand smoke in cars is, you know, contrary to perhaps some anecdotal evidence you may hear, that children who grow up with parents who smoke are three times more likely to smoke. So, you know, anything we can do that discourages the parents to give up, encourages parents to give up smoking, and if they think, oh, well, you know, I've got the kids in the car, I can't smoke, it's another little incentive to just say, look, I've got to make the effort. You know, and those people who are smoking, every incentive we can give them would be an improvement to their health, because they, you know, we've got to remember that, you know, 50% of smokers, long-term smokers, will die of a smoking-related illness. So going back to the issue of enforcement, again, on mobile phones, people used to say, oh, you know, you could never enforce a ban on driving with mobile phones. But actually, in the last 3 years, there's been the best part of 3,000 people.
Yes, but this is why it's critical to have the PSNI enforcing it. If it's some guy in a blue coat going along the street taking photographs, people have no respect for, maybe respect is the wrong word, but they've no respect for the law that individual is trying to enforce. Let me put it like that. And if the PSNI, however, are pulling you in at a checkpoint and booking you for smoking in a car, that's a proper law.
Well, indeed, you know, and again, you know, as with the mobile phones, you know, the PSNI obviously have a range of priorities, and we don't imagine for a moment that this is going to be a high priority. But it gives them the ability that, you know, when they see it happening, that they can take action and send out that important message.
Do you think it will be successful? Loads of talk about it. Probably is going to come to pass. Out for this 8-week consultation, somebody will get booked and they'll be in the Newry Reporter or whatever for smoking in front of their children in the car. There'll be embarrassment for them. Other parents say, oh, I don't want to be in my local paper. And then they'll drift away from it, the way they have with the smoking in the workplace vehicle. It won't be properly policed. Therefore, we are wasting our time on it.
Well, no, I think, you know, this is an important message that it's sending out to people. I think that's the primary thing. You know, as I said, with the closest comparison really is the smoking in pubs. You know, the councils have resources, they have staff that are employed to enforce the smoking legislation, but the amount of effort that they need to put into policing public houses and clubs, etc., is negligible now, because basically it has just built up in the public consciousness that this is something that you don't do. As I said, the vast majority of smokers, 85% plus, would never smoke with children in the car. But we just need to keep reinforcing the message to the small minority that do, that this is really something you need to stop doing for the sake of your children, if not for your own health as well.
What do you say to those who smoke but keep their hand out the window?
That really doesn't work. Again, there's been quite detailed studies in all of this, Frank, you know, and really that doesn't work. And again, I'd like to take the opportunity on your show to reinforce that message, because that is a common misperception, is that, oh, you know, it'll all get sucked out. It doesn't, you know, it basically circulates in the car. You're in a very confined space, essentially, you know, and basically the concentration of smoke is remarkably high. In fact, I think it was... even with the window down, it was compared to the similar atmosphere to the old smoky bar of old inside the car. That's something that you don't want to be subjecting children to.
Absolutely, 100% agreement. But where do you stand on smoking in the home with children?
Well, I think everything we have to do is with the grain of public opinion, you know, and I think there would be no support for a ban on smoking in homes. And again, you just get into a whole different, as you intimated there, into a whole different range of sort of government interference in people's lives. So I think, you know, we need to take as much effort as we can in terms of protecting children in cars. But I think intruding in people's homes wouldn't have the support of public opinion. But I say the important thing that this is part of a range of measures, you know, and things have improved. I mean, I know, frankly, sadly, the level of smoking hasn't declined as much as we would like to have seen in recent years. But you have to remember, Frank, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 50% of men and 40% of women smoked. You know, it was widespread. And now, thankfully, we have that down to 22%. But we set ourselves a target in government in Northern Ireland of getting that down to 15% by 2020. Now, if we're sitting in 22% today, if we're going to get it down to 15% in the next 3 years, we really need to redouble our efforts. Now, we've tightened up the legislation on retailing a couple of years ago. Now we're tightening up on smoking in cars. And the play in packs is now beginning to come into force. The legislation has taken a wee while to work its way through, but really increasingly you will not see branded cigarette packs. And the cigarette packets, you know, are very much an attraction to young people. It's the branding that really attracts young people in to take up smoking. So hopefully when that disappears as well, there'll be another added incentive just to make smoking, you know, less cool than it's sometimes seen to be.
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if all those measures led to, in the end, no one deciding to shorten their lives by smoking? It would be fabulous. And, you know, I'm fully supportive of your initiative and the hopes that you have. But only recently I was back and forward to one of our hospitals at a relative in hospital. I was there visiting for about 10 nights, and I was so disheartened with the attitude of the other visitors, a significant number, numerous other visitors who were smoking at the door of the hospital, when it clearly states smoking on hospital property is not allowed. No cooperation at all from dozens of people.
Well, indeed. I mean, it's not just visitors. You know, we've all seen patients traipsing outside. And, you know, the health trusts have introduced a ban on smoking on NHS property and the NHS estate. But it is difficult to police that. And also, you know, there are issues about how you do that. You know, when people, particularly, for example, around areas of mental health, if people have a mental health issue and they're smoking and you're going to come in there and try and enforce a ban on smoking. All of these things...
Yeah, but I'm not talking, Neil, about the patients or about someone who may have a mental health challenge. I'm talking about those who were visiting, maybe family members in hospital, who were joking, laughing, carrying on, waiting for taxis, just going through the normal routine of life, and they were smoking at the door of the hospital. That's absolutely a lack of respect for any law that's been brought in, and
well, indeed,
for any, you know, for any initiative that's been brought in, and for those who are passing by.
Well, yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, the onus there is on the health trusts. The health trusts have moved ahead with this move. And as you intimated earlier on, there's no point in introducing a legislation that if you're not actually going to have some level of enforcement and bring people to book. Otherwise, you know, it just brings ridicule upon the whole thing. So I think there is a question there for the trusts about, you know, what they're doing in terms of enforcing that. And having mentioned a moment ago, recognising the difficulties that there can be in the health state scenario, I think, you know, the trust have brought in that ban to discourage smoking, and therefore they need to be seen to enforce it.
Would you like to see smoking banned in all public places?
Well, it depends on your definition of a public place. You know, I think if you're out in the open air, you know, there is an argument that the level of health damage you're doing to anybody else is relatively small. But I think anything, you know, and again, I don't think the public would support such a ban, you know, banning in public open space. But I think, you know, we have to work with a grain of public opinion. People now recognise, or the vast majority of the population recognise, that smoking is bad for health. You know, we have 2,300 smoking-related deaths in Northern Ireland. You know, we often focus on the unfortunate number of people that die on the roads, which thankfully has also come down in recent years, but we focus on that quite regularly. But, you know, 2,300 a year, these are deaths that could have been prevented if people could only have been helped to smoke. Because, again, we're not in the business of castigating smokers. You know, we recognise nicotine is a highly addictive substance, and we just want to encourage, both through legislation and through health campaigns and through our education campaigns, and then hopefully that people who are smokers will make the effort to take action, either through your referral, through via their pharmacy or through their GP, to get on to a stop smoking course,
okay,
either treatment and give up the dreaded weed.
Okay, Neil, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Neil Johnson from Chest Heart Stroke. We've got a Twitter poll. I'll tell you about it at U105 Radio. You can have your say in a moment.